You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
Well, today on Christmas Day, what we're doing is we're finishing off our series, our Christmas series that we've been doing called Behold. And today we're going to reflect on some other key characters in the Christmas narrative. And that is the bunch of ordinary, humble shepherds and how they responded to the news of Jesus' birth. So how about we pray as we come around God's word together this morning on Christmas Day? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much that you gave us your Son, the greatest gift the world has ever received and the greatest gift that any human being can ever receive. That's you, Jesus. And so this morning, as we come around your word and we look afresh at what for some of us might be a very familiar passage of scripture, for others who might be seeking spiritual truth today, might never have heard this before. Whatever it is, God, we pray that by your Spirit, you would bring it alive to our hearts and that we would leave this place doing what we were singing about before, adoring you, beholding you with joy. So God, do that work in us today, and we give you all the glory right now as we come around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And kids, you can sit there or you can go take a seat, whatever you want to do. Here we go. This is what it says. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, as you would be, hey. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, and lying in a manger." And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Wow. A bunch of raggedy, smelly, overlooked shepherds were the very first people to hear about the birth of the promised Messiah, who everyone were waiting for. Now, I don't know about you, but the very fact that these shepherds were the first to hear such good news is pretty striking, isn't it? It's actually telling if you think about it, because for me, it actually says a lot about the heart of God, that he would choose to share such news of significance with such insignificant people. It says a lot, by extension too, about his heart for us as well. So what does it say, and how is this good news for us? Well, if you think back then, society was very much similar to society today in some ways. How so? Well, some jobs were seen to be really good and were celebrated, and other jobs weren't. Now, here's the thing with shepherds. Shepherds work with sheep. And kids, what do you know about sheep? They're sheepish, yes. What else? They're stinky as well, aren't they? They're not very bright as well. They're really not blessed that much, are they? They smell, they're not super bright, and because they're not super bright, they tend to get in a lot of trouble quite regularly. And what do you think that means for shepherds, those who have to look after the sheep? Well, because they hang out with stinky, smelly sheep, they get stinky and smelly themselves, and they're tired and sore because they're always chasing their silly sheep who get stuck in fences and all sorts of things, aren't they? So back in Jesus' day, people looked down on shepherds because of the job that they had. People looked at shepherds and thought that they were nobodies, that they were really good for nothing, just fulfilling a menial task, not at all valuable. Back in those days, a shepherd would have been definitely on a higher level than a pig farmer, because who knows that for the Jews to be surrounded by pigs, pigs were unclean. So to be caring for pigs and raising pigs, I said kids, that was a Freudian slip, raising pigs, you know, not a good thing at all. For Jews back in the day, that would have been the worst job ever. But if you think about it, this is where it parallels with our society today. There are jobs today where people view much the same. We view some certain jobs as being prestigious and praiseworthy and valuable and good. And sadly, and this is really sad because we shouldn't do this, but sadly we view very many jobs in society as being meaningless or not valuable at all. And of course, it shouldn't be this way, because doesn't matter what we do, people are valuable, aren't they? That's what God's heart is. Everyone's created in His image. But the challenge is, too often today, we look down on others because of the job they have. And we mistreat others because we see them as being lesser people than us based on the jobs we have. It's sad, but it's true. Here's the thing. The very fact that God chose to reveal the entry of the promised Messiah to earth directly to a bunch of ragamuffin, smelly, disheveled shepherds tells us that God's not interested so much in position or status. He actually sees people. His concern is with people, all people. He sees people not for what they do or how much money they earn or whether other people think they're any good. God sees people as people, created in His image, completely valuable because He has made them. You know, I'd go further, in fact. I'd say that this shows that God actually has a very special place in His heart for other people who we have no place in our heart for. People who are overlooked. People from humble backgrounds. And friends, this is good news for us. Why is this good news? Well, many of us here, maybe some of us watching this back later on, we feel overlooked. We feel like we're unimportant, that no one cares for us. Well, the very fact that God chose to reveal the greatest news that would ever be revealed to humanity, to a bunch of ordinary, humble shepherds, let me tell you, that should encourage us greatly. He doesn't overlook us. God has a special place in His heart for the overlooked, for people from humble backgrounds. He has a special place in His heart for you, for me, for anyone and everyone. So be encouraged on this Christmas morning. As Laura said before, God hasn't changed. God can't change. It's His very makeup. It's impossible for God to change even one slight bit. And so God created you, He sees you, and He values you. So I encourage you to open your heart to Him today and allow Him to fill you with awe and wonder as you come to appreciate His overwhelming love for you in sending His Son to earth for you. Okay, so God shares the greatest news ever with some of the most unlikely people ever, the shepherds. Now, here's the thing with the shepherds. They initially responded, quite rightly, I think any of us would have been responded the same way, to the news of Jesus' birth with fear, but they pushed through their fear as they processed all that they experienced to head off for Bethlehem. I love what the angel says in Luke 2:9-11. angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Fear not. Yeah, right. Those stinky shepherds are there shaking in their sandals. And they're just chilling out. It's darker, as dark as dark can be. All of a sudden, it's brighter than day is even possible to be with an angel, and then suddenly a multitude of angels. Like, that is a pretty full-on experience, isn't it? They're having a convo with an angelic being, pinching themselves. Is this actually happening? Like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, they hear the message and the sky turns pitch black again. And it's done. And they're just left there kind of going, what on earth just happened? But then what do they do? What do we see? Scripture says the shepherds moved with haste. They reflected on what they just experienced. They heard and thought about what the angel had told them. And then they picked up their stuff, left their sheep behind, and went to follow and see what it was all about, to see the newborn king. Now, many see this moment as fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah 9:2, which reads, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." The people waiting for the Messiah were, there's no question, waiting in darkness. But I think perhaps this is also highlighting how God chose to share the news with shepherds, people who were overlooked, undervalued, people who dwelt on the margins of society, who really, in society, they dwelled in a place of great darkness, a place that would have felt like a land of great darkness. Whatever you think about that, doesn't really matter. Here's a takeaway for all of us. The shepherds responded to the incredible news of Jesus' entry to earth with obedience. That's the first point to take away today. They were shaking in their sandals. No doubt they were still shaking in their sandals with their knees knocking as they were running for Bethlehem. But in that one moment, their entire night and likely their whole lives were just changed with a radical encounter with God. They left their sheep, and as I said before, they headed for the newborn Saviour with haste. That's what verse 16 says. They dropped everything. These shepherds, I think this is quite a profound thing too. The shepherds dropped everything to go and see the one who would grow up to become the good shepherd, the shepherd of all. The awe they experienced at the sight of the angel and news of the promised Messiah being born led them to take action, to go and see for themselves. Now, I want to encourage us today. I think this should cause us to do much the same, to think, well, where are we at today? How are we responding right now in Christmas 2024 to the news of the birth of the newborn king? Have we responded to Jesus? Have we already moved with haste towards God to receive this free gift of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we in a place where we've yet to take that action? Maybe we're sitting on the fence, so to speak. Or maybe for us, it's just gone a little bit cold in our faith, or we haven't pursued him like maybe we could, like he's inviting us to. God has made himself known through Jesus Christ. And right now, today, Jesus can be known personally by every single one of us as Lord and Savior. He sees you. He wants you. He's made a way for you to experience joy and awe and wonder through relationship with him. So if you're here today and you haven't yet reached out in faith to Jesus, can I encourage you, just reach out to him today. It doesn't have to be a fancy thing. It's between you and God, ultimately, in your heart of hearts. Jesus is ready and waiting for anyone who would approach him humbly, like the shepherds approached him many years ago. And if you do approach him, Scripture's clear. You will receive mercy. You will receive grace. You will receive complete forgiveness for your sins. And you will be able to walk in new abundant life with him from that moment forward. So will you turn to Jesus today on Christmas Day? Knowing Jesus will be the greatest gift that you'll ever receive and enjoy. You won't believe this, kids, but it will be even better than a bike, even better than a Lightning McQueen remote control car and a Jude Bellingham soccer jersey. You know, it really will be. It's the greatest gift any of us can ever receive. So that's the first. The shepherds responded to the incredible news of Jesus' birth with obedience. And here's a quick second. The shepherds' beholding of Jesus led them to share the good news with joy. Reading Luke 2, 16 to 20. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They dropped everything. They went with haste to see the newborn king. And then after seeing the newborn king, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. Just think about this for a moment, about the transformation that likely occurred in these shepherds' lives. Lowly, humble, overlooked shepherds, they encounter the love of God physically manifested in the form of an infant child, and they are changed in that moment. They come alive. They're completely consumed with awe and wonder at the gift of the newborn Jesus. They are so caught up in the good news. They are so caught up in what they've experienced and seen that they don't even care about how people view them anymore. They don't even think, they're not worried about what people might think or say. They've encountered the love of God and they're transformed in that moment. You could say it's like an example of what it is to be born again. They've been born again, freed completely, opened to new possibilities for life through an encounter with God himself. I want to suggest today, friends, that encountering Jesus has or can have much the same effect on us. I've said it already, Jesus loves you. Jesus created you. He knows you better than even your wife knows you if you're married. Notice how I didn't say you know yourself, because our wives always know us better than we know ourselves. Isn't that true, guys? Smart men would say, yes, Pastor Joel. Don't go in the doghouse on Christmas Day. He wants us to be completely free. And actual freedom. Here's the thing, friends. In a world that is telling us, here is what you can do to find freedom. Make your own path. Buy all the stuff that you think will fulfill you and fill that hole in your heart. Newsflash, none of it does it? We get the next thing and then before we know it, that next thing is old thing. And then we're covered in the next thing. Nothing actually satisfies. But actual freedom and joy comes only when we behold Jesus and worship him. Not just once, but each and every day of our lives as we enjoy relationship with him. So I want to encourage you afresh today. And if you're watching this back or you're here and you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ yet, do so today. Make Christmas Day 2024 the first day of the rest of your life. The day where you behold Jesus and are changed in a moment, just like those shepherds were as they beheld the promised Messiah in that manger all those years ago. The greatest response any person can have when we behold Jesus is to bow down and worship him in much the same way that the shepherds did. Will you do that today, friends? Will you do that for the first time? Or if you're following Jesus right now, will you ask God to give you a renewed passion for the gospel and for desiring relationship with Him today on Christmas Day. We've been given the greatest gift in Jesus, and there's no greater gift we could give in return to God than our devotion and our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are just in awe of the coming of Christ. We are just amazed at just how truly wonderful the gift of Jesus was back then. But Jesus, as we look back on your coming, that is not the only time when you are present with people. You manifested yourself as you said you would, as was prophesied long ago. But God, right now, today, for anyone who would place their faith in you, you say you will come and be with them. You will dwell with them. In fact, by your Holy Spirit, you will reside within them. And so, Jesus, we thank you that your desire is to dwell with your people. It always has been, and it always will be. So I pray, God, today, that for those who've never before come to you and approached you in faith, I pray that they would do that today, that there would be knees bowing figuratively, so to speak, that there would be hearts just softening and saying, Jesus, I want to behold you. I want to worship you. I want to walk with you from this day forward. I want to know what it means to be truly alive. I want to know what freedom looks like. I want to experience relationship with you. I want to live the life that I was designed to live. As people do that today, God, may you come and dwell richly with them, and may they have a transformative experience, much like the shepherds who encountered you and then were changed in a moment and then walked through life differently as a result. So God, we thank you and we pray that your blessing on each of us today. And we thank you, Jesus, that you did what you said you would do in sending the promised Messiah as the one, the only one, who fully God and fully human, who could take the weight of the sins of all the people in the world and pay the price for all the sins for all the people of the world in full, once and for all. And so we celebrate you today, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the promised Messiah. We behold you with joy and reverence, and we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.